evening and welcome inside the Better Clubhouse on this Tuesday, April 8th, live from Ferg Sports Bar, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, Sea Dogs Brewing, serving breakfast daily, and Michelob Ultra and Ultra Zero. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live on RadioSt.Pete.com, on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Check us out on Spotify, on the Tampa Bay Podcast Archive, part of Radio St. Pete. I'm Christian Champ Sharp, part of your Clubhouse crew tonight, joined as I am each and every week from my brother from another mother, Sammy Sharps. How are we doing tonight, Sammy?
Doing very well, Champ. How are you doing? Masters week.
Hey, we finally made it, Sammy. We made it. I know that we just got out of March. Finally, the clock strikes April. We're in here, April Fools. We got through all the pranks, and now it's hello, friends. It's Masters Week for Augusta National. And for this, next hour or so, we'll be breaking down everything about Magnolia Lane, anything from the players to the top of the board. Got all your props, got all your fantasy, everything that you'll need to know to look smart out there as you. But first, if you haven't already, go on to the Masters app, download that thing. Plenty of great content. If you haven't seen it already, Scottie Scheffler breaking hole by hole of last year and just his insight into the tournament. Love to see that. Plenty of videos out there. Masters app is going to have your driving range, your players, complete wall-to-wall coverage, one of the best apps that we have each and every year. So the next hour, me and Sam are going to break down the Masters for you, give you a little shout-out to our bracket winner from March Madness. Also give a check to see how those bets went. See how last week's at Valero Texas Open finished up, and do all that great stuff over the next course of the next hour. Go ahead, sign up for our newsletter. Me and Sammy are just working and putting on the final touches. We should be able to go live, hopefully, Sammy, next week on the betterclubhouse.com. Sign up for our newsletter Monday. We've already sent out the Masters. We've got plenty of great trends out there, some models to throw out there. If you haven't seen that, go out and check that out. And then tomorrow, anytime you miss anything on this show here, we'll have a Wednesday, have all the bets, have all the good stuff in tomorrow's newsletter. That's the Better Clubhouse, BETTOR, the betterclubhouse.substack.com. Subscribe for free. Follow on all the socials, myself on X, Champs311, Sammy at SammyAVBets there as well. Sammy, as we look back, I think let's touch on March Madness. Obviously, this is the Better Clubhouse. We try to touch on all sports there. March Madness just finishing up with the UF Gators winning last night, much to my chagrin, as a Florida State Noel bleeding. My daughter's here tonight with me in the clubhouse. Know that blue and orange don't go together, but unfortunately, it does bring home a national championship. And I think you might have a little bit different feelings on the Gators. What are your thoughts on as the tournament closed up last night?
So for as quote-unquote boring as the opening rounds were, with the lack of proper amount of upsets, as a casual fan would say, I think the Final Four and the title game absolutely lived up to the hype. Florida and Auburn, that game was back and forth. Florida faced a big deficit like they did last night, came back and overcame that. Duke just... I don't know if it was that inexperience. We talked about experience being a key factor going into March, and I think we saw just some freshman mindset, some nerves from Duke, and they melted down in kind of a historic fashion, if you will, and Houston went out and got it. I mean, Duke didn't just give it away. Houston also went out and got it. So last night's game, back and forth, obviously very physical. The refs definitely got in the way a little bit, but overall, it was a great watch. It was good to see Florida come back from another deficit. I had them on a future 40-1 that I placed in December, but so it was good to get that over the hill after the Chiefs thing. But I think the Final Four and the championship game definitely made up for the lack of upsets, if you will, in the first couple rounds. What do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think those were definitely the best games, those final three there. I did enjoy the Texas Tech-Michigan State game. I think in the Sweet 16 we saw a little bit of games here and there. As we saw in the four number ones, I expected some great games in the Final Four, and it did. It definitely was right there. My kids wanted to watch the new Lion King. I said, girls, like, no, we got Final Four basketball going on, obviously. And to much my grin, I mean, what did I see? The team leading in what, I don't know the stat right off of hand, but it was like steals, points, blocks, and all that, was 335-0 leading into that game. And what was that one team to lose? That'd be your Duke Blue Devils, right? Duke, it took a historic collapse down there. Obviously, plenty of video. Unfortunately, I get nightmares because they did the same thing to Kentucky in the non-conference slate early on in the season. I'm like, no, these guys, freshmen become seniors late in March. Man, we're talking about Flag, and he's going to turn into this, and Knuppel can do this, and it just turned into, and as much as John Shire said, hey, Flag, you got this. This is your time. Go out and do it. I hated that shot selection. I hated him not going to the rack. Yeah. I hated it all together. I hated him not being able to inbounds the ball. Like, what are we doing there? Come on, this should be Duke. This should be high quality. The one thing I think they missed, you got to go to Coach K when they're melting down. They love to show Coach K when they were up. Oh, wow, man, these boys are flying all around the court. They're about to roll into this. Where'd Coach K and where's the video when they're melting down and seeing that guy melt down on that one, right?
That he has.
Right, exactly, right? Much as I, endearing term, if the rat is the face on it, I would love to see the video. I think that was a little miss. I mean, that dunk, that nasty dunk by Florida as they were playing over
Auburn.
That was, I mean, probably the dunk of the tournament there, by all means. I think a lot of people are saying,
Jordan one, and then he dunked over the two guys.
And then they had the follow-up dunk on the three. If that doesn't happen, then they probably don't get there. Obviously, that Florida game, I liked the chances that Auburn had. Unfortunately, I think they ran out of speed there toward the end, and it's the better team won. I did, to be honest with you, from a casual fan, I thought Duke was probably the best team that had the best chance and the best roster. I had no idea that this Clayton guy was any good, to be honest with you. I had no idea until you were like, man. And then you're like, man, this is like Steph Curry. I'm like, who? And then I saw it in that second half of that Auburn game. I'm like, okay, this guy's a guy. This guy's a dude. He hit that step back in the corner three. He was making moves and doing that. I don't know how you don't stop it. And then the second half of last night's game, obviously that team, complete effort. Hat tip to the Gators there. Well-deserving champions. Congrats on your 40-1 there, too, as well. And also a shout-out to Evan Anderson winning the Better Clubhouse. He had the title game exacta down there on Sammy. He had Florida over Houston. I think he predicted way too many points, or he hit the button there. He predicted 167 as his, and it only finished at 128 there. But shout-out to Evan. He had Florida versus Michigan State on one side, Houston over Florida, Houston over Alabama on the other side, and Florida over Houston's title game. Hat tip to that. 96th percentile is what it takes. We love to see that to win down.
Wow.
Shout out to Sammy himself pulling up silver medal there, and then Mad Mike 2901 third place bronze. We'll get you all three of those podium places. I'll get some swag. We'll be on the shout. Be on the lookout for that. So looking forward to that. As much time as we spent on March Madness there, I'm going to spend about 2 minutes on Valero. I mean, shout out. This is no disrespect, even though it seems like the Better Clubhouse has little respect for a guy that doesn't have the most endearing nickname of the Hobbit for Brian Harmon. But yes, this is his fourth PGA Tour victory, first time since his major title at the Open Championship in 2023. So I wrote in the newsletter on Monday, major champions and first-time winners are accounting for over 60% of the wins on PGA Tour this season, up to 64% now. How does that look as far as we look towards Augusta? The wind played a huge factor. I'm really looking, unfortunately, for the Better Clubhouse outrights, Keegan Bradley, I'm looking at you. Corey Connors, I'm looking at you. Patrick Cantlay, I'm looking at you. These are all guys that had a little taste of the first page and then just melted down from the win and just blew away, especially on the greens there. But shout out to Brian Harmon there. Unfortunately, Sammy, we have not cracked that top 10 winner yet. Ryan Gerard was right there, another second-place finish. Top 10 in my model has hit either first or second in 9 out of 14 tournaments this season as well. We're looking for that third win. I like our chances this week for the top 10. Stick around for my Masters top 10 there. But, yeah, obviously, if you know Augusta, you know all the trends, and you know things that are there or not. I'm not going to break the bank here by saying don't win the tournament for Augusta, and also don't win the par three contest tomorrow. Shout out to anybody in Augusta that's playing the par three. Heck of a thing. Let the kids. My kids would be out there hitting practice, hitting balls into the fans, hitting people with the clubs probably, if I know my daughter's there as well. But go out there and enjoy it. Don't win tomorrow in the par three. Sorry, Brian Harman. You're scratched off the list. We only got about 95 other players to go through in tonight's round there. But, Sammy, what are your final thoughts on Valero? Shout out to you. Another top 20 cash, 2-1. Loving to see that, as you did with Mr. Bud Cauley. Were you even paying attention to Valero? Or are you just hoping, I don't hope any of my guys finish up there, as far as like Ludvig Åberg? Missed cut last week. Hideki Matsuyama, missed cut last week, right? Plenty of guys out there who are looking for the game and missed cut and that sort of thing. But just your overall thoughts last week, only making three bets of your own and cashing on a third of those is always a nice payday. What are your final thoughts on Valero there?
So I did watch. I was kind of impressed a little bit with how much they just stood there and talked and chattered on the broadcast when Harman was wagging his club. I just don't understand. The Masters, I hope he's not in contention at any fun event ever, because it's an awful viewing experience when that guy is in the lead. And we have to watch him address the ball for 2 minutes, stand over the ball for a minute. It's just tough to watch, but
Sammy, I got a question for you. I got a question. Sure. Which one do you hate less? You ready for this? And I think you know exactly where I'm going with this, but if you don't, for the patrons there, number one, Brian Harman waggles. We love to see those. Or is it the Patrick Cantlay shuffle when he's on the putting green? Which one, if you had to introduce into your golf game, are you less likely to add and somebody say, wow, I like that move, Sammy? Which one are you less likely to frown over if you had to add either one of those into your game?
Oh, man. If I had to add one of those into my game, I would add I hate to say it, the Patrick Cantlay waggles would
the shuffle of the feet there? You like that?
Yeah, shuffling. I get it. The center of balance, feeling one with the greens, I could get with that. But the 37 waggles and shoulder shrugs and whatever Brian does, I'm going to get up and hit it, because no matter what I do and how many waggles I get, it's going to veer right or left. It's not hitting the green anyway.
Sammy, he's just easing the tension, baby. He's just easing the tension. He can't get his caddy in there to hit the hips. He's got to hit the waggle of the thing there. But obviously, Sammy, what's like your major tick on the
course? He's got a low center of gravity.
Hey, he's a bulldog. He's a Georgia boy. He's won a number of times, got a major. I guess we got to give him a little respect there, I guess, if we have
fair,
to.
Fair. Very much so.
He did win a tournament, and it did have a crowd. So there, I'd have to give that out and be there for that. So and he's got some boots on, even though the boots probably go up to his knee based on his height there. But I think
he won shooting a 72 and a 75 over the weekend.
I mean, if you're going to win, you're going to win. And that's like that's like winning the poker championship with like 3-7, right, Sammy? You just outdid it.
Oh.
You got something on the river there. You're happy to get it. Obviously, he gets an exception. And what's the betting poker card on that as far as winning an event with just like – not going out and shooting a great score? I mean, obviously that course was playing super difficult, probably one of the toughest out there, greens to hit and that sort of thing. No shame there. But I think, as you mentioned, putting up a 149 on the weekend, not going to get you much love inside of Ferg's and do that sort of thing. More beers were shed for Tony Finau's hole in one on Friday, I promise you, for doing that as well. But in a poker hand, Sammy, what do you think is final, like a final table? You lay something down. Obviously, it's not ace-ace there for a guy that loves a poker room there. If you had to put in Brian Harman's weekend, what is that final hand pre-flop there for you?
So it's really, really funny you said 3-7, because I have a funny story in a house poker game with 3-7 and beating a guy who had pocket sevens, because I got a full house on him with 3-7, and I was just farting around drunk one night. But that's for a different time. But I definitely see... We used to also play 2-7 is wild. If you got to the final hand and you won face up with and if you had 2-7 and you showed your cards, you would win in any showdown, no matter what the hand was. So I would say that was Brian Harman's weekend. Was a Basically, Deuce is wild.
Love that. Love that. Not scripted for those patrons out there. Sammy had no idea that we were going to throw a poker reference there. That's a guy on his thing there. But what I can tell you is we are going to show the cards in this next segment. But first, I want to let the patrons know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill down here, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of the old lady with her top off. We call that Tropicana Field, downtown St. Pete. Also streaming live, if you can't make it on down here to Ferg's, is RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Streams channel. Come on down. We just knocked out, me and the girls, my two daughters, Olivia and Laurel, down here tonight after a little bit of horseback riding out at the barn, trying to find some courses for horses there. Olivia's a big Scotty Scheffler fan, and I think Laurel's a big Ricky Fowler fan out there, but they definitely killed some $3 tacos tonight, and obviously I have to hit the Champa Bay as they try to funnel some liquid courage to figure out who's going to win Augusta National this week. But come on down. We'll be here. You can also hit the Rodeo Burger. Plenty of we got baseball. We got the Rays on right now, live from Tampa. Me and Olivia will be in the stands tomorrow night. She's excited to see Steinbrenner Field live there. Raised down 0-0, bottom of one. We got the Atlanta Braves on there, hoping to eventually bounce back there. Plenty of TVs, plenty of action down here. Nice night. Come on down. Check us out, 13th Central, Fergs. Sammy, let's go ahead and step out onto the patio at pristine conditions as we put on our, everybody close their eyes, takes that trip down Magnolia Lane, and just looks at Hello Friends. I can hear the piano in the background. If I had the rights, I'd play it right now. But Sammy, give just a patio preview tonight, sponsored by our great friends at Body Armor, Coca-Cola, Chichi Rodriguez Golf Academy, and then also the great people over at Ace Eye Printing did a great job with our business cards, looking to get our name out there. Tell a friend about the Better Clubhouse. You like this show, obviously. Fellow D-gens here trying to make you a little money, trying to make you a little smarter. Sammy, take us a little ride down patio preview in Augusta National Golf Club.
Sure. So Augusta National is obviously probably the most recognizable course out there, maybe in the world, at least on the PGA Tour among American fans. And for that reason, I don't think we need to get into the dimensions exactly like that. We talked about that a little bit in our newsletter earlier this week. One thing about that, though, the dimensions you're going to see on the scorecard, it's going to play longer than that because of all the elevation changes, which we're going to get into. But repeatedly, almost every year, this is one of, if not the hardest course on tour. You're looking at your average score of almost a stroke and a half over par. And experience really matters here. That course history is very sticky because players that play here often know, if anything, where to miss and where they can miss to get up and down for at least par and limit damage, which is essential here. If you're not missing in the right spots, you can blow up it for a bogey at best. It's second most difficult from a shots gained approach perspective on tour, and winner is typically top five in the field that week in shots gained of approach. Like I mentioned, elevation changes, uneven lies throughout. There's runoff around the greens, which adds to the difficulty of the approach. And these greens, the bent grass is smooth and predictable from a putting perspective, but the undulation is insane. So you're going to want to hit your approach shots within 10 feet, hopefully, so you can try to remove as much of that undulation as possible and have as straight of a lie as you can see. Bomb away here. The fairways are very wide. The second is not very much of penal rough at all. You can get up and down. You just need to make sure you're in the right spots to have the right shots into the greens to be scoreable. Would you agree with that? You don't have to be in the fairway necessarily, but you have to make sure you've got an angle to be able to at least get up and down for par.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a total tee to green golf course. I think you have to manage your ball around the track. I think, obviously, when I think of Augusta National, I think of left-handed golfers have done well. Why? Being able to shot shape from right to left, Bubba out of the trees, Phil Mickelson, and, I mean, countless numbers. I think we have nine in the field this week, including Bobby Mack, who I think would go well pretty well here. Akshay Bhatia, another name that's probably a popular left-hander out there as well. When I think of Augusta National and having the being out there, I've been had the grateful to be out there three times already, or not this week, obviously, but just in my lifetime being out there. The elevation changes are no joke, especially that tee shot on 10, whipping it around the corner. Rory's house, I call it, over there on the left there. The Patrons, and just pristine. What I would recommend, if you want to know about Augusta National, go out on the Masters app. I already mentioned it already. Scotty Scheffler breaks down every single hole. When I think of Augusta, second shot golf course, got to put it in the right position. These greens are big, but you got to put it in the right part. And then also I think of par fives. Got to take advantage of the par fives. Almost totally, every single hole 100%. Is probably going to be par. I think I looked past a couple and we'll go into trends in the next segment there. Par five scoring you got to be able to do. And then just have the gonads, have the testicular fortitude, whatever you want to call it, to be able to close out on this course, because we know there's plenty of ghosts out there in Race Creek. We've seen it in Amen Corner. But one thing you have to do, and one thing I love about Augusta National, and there's plenty of people that say it, if you hit a great golf shot, you are rewarded at Augusta National. If you hit one off the map, you are going to be penalized by Augusta National. And I think that's what
players want.
Exactly right. And I think that leads into the drama that we see every single Sunday here. I expect another close finish. I'm not sure we'll have to get your thoughts there, Sammy, on that. Leads to a great finish. They put in great pin positions to make the players hit great shots. Obviously, the par 3 on 16 on round 4, putting it in the bowl there. Plenty of other places that these players know. But also, as Rory said, you can't be all gas and no brakes around this course, or you will pay a price. You'll see big numbers around the greens. You'll see big numbers in the trees. You'll see big numbers putting it in the water, where there is water. You need the total game, and I think that's Augusta National. It's a great specular place to see. The casual fan's going to watch. Obviously, the bird noise is fake. I can tell you that by all means. The elevation is not fake. And I just look forward to it. I think if I had to put a number on it there, Sammy, almost 8,000 yards that these guys are going to have to do. Yeah. So if I'm thinking key stats, and I'll get yours here without hearing them, I'm thinking distance. I do like Apex as far as being able to hit the ball high into these greens. We saw it from the Augusta Women's Amateur. She struggled because earlier in the year she just didn't hit it high enough to stop on these greens. I think you need somebody to hit it pretty high. And then I also think distance, par 5 scoring. And I also like around the green game because nerves are going to come in. You're going to have to be able to get your ball up and down, especially on par fours, par threes. Sammy, what are some key stats that you kind of see as needing in order to be on the first page of the leaderboard?
So what you said about the par fives, not only par five scoring, but I'm looking specifically at par five birdie or better percentage. And we've talked about that kind of every week for the last few weeks here. But it's a stat that I really have found that it gives a better perception as to how these guys are scoring on the par fives. Obviously, it's accounting for those birdies. All four of the par fives are up around over 35% birdie rate. And the eagle rates are there. You can get to these greens in two. So I want to see those going for greens hit green percentage. Just giving me an idea of who is putting themselves in the best chance to score in the par fives. Because over 75% of the scoring at Augusta is coming from those par fives. Last four winners, 88% of the scoring is coming on those par fives. So it's essential that you're getting under par on those holes. And I think there's only one other hole on the whole course that plays under par at all.
Is it the third hole? I would expect it probably be that sharp par four. The one that Cam Smith decided to have a front row seat to your boy Scotty Scheffler holding out after he hit it into the trees there. That definitely a pivotal one there. Just to point in to Sammy's point there, last four winners, Hideki Matsuyama minus 11 on the par fives, Scotty Scheffler minus 8 on the par fives, John Rahm minus 10 on the par fives, Scotty Scheffler last year minus 9 on the par fives. Take those from Decky all the way down to Scotty. Fourth in the field that week, second in the week. Got to take care of those par fives there. And obviously, we're looking at those. This is no magic. This isn't anything there. Also, with a shorter field, Sammy, I mean, what are we talking, 50 players in ties there? So, I mean, over 60% of the field is going to make the cut, right? And obviously you're talking old-timers there, Jose Maria Othalbol. You got some amateurs in there. If I go down there, we got Mike Weir, Fred Couples. Plenty of guys in there that probably, I'm probably looking at you, Max Homa, probably not making the cut this week. I hate to rag on the guy, but just if your game's not there, Augusta National will punish you. Deep down, I think you're probably talking, 50 players? Obviously, Sammy, 50 players is probably, obviously, if I put it under 50 players, you probably give me minus 3,000 on the, or minus a million probably on the money line, because that it incorporates two guys, top of the leaderboard there, top of the betting odds, two names, don't need their last names, we all know. Talking Rory, talking Scotty. What's your take on two versus the field there, and just your thoughts on those top two players?
I think first for Scotty, first, since he's just at the board, he's reigning champ, he's in a historic place. You don't really see guys go back-to-back at the Masters very often. It's been a while since that happened, and I don't think it's ever happened that somebody's done 3 in 4 years, or maybe Jack did that, but I know Tiger didn't do that. So he's in historic error here, and Rory is also in historic error here for different reasons. He obviously needs this for the Grand Slam, and he's coming into this tournament in arguably the best form he's ever come into the Masters. So you feel good about kind of both of these guys from what they can do from a scoring perspective, especially after Scotty had the weekend that he had in Houston. So I don't know. I think that's probably going to be a popular opinion. The odds depict how much better they are than probably the second tier, if you will. So I haven't made any bets at the top of the board. I guess let me ask you, between those two, are you taking Rory over Scotty? Let's say they're both plus 500. Which one are you taking?
I mean, if we're talking odds, if we're talking one-and-done contest, obviously we'll do those selections at the end. Sammy, by the way, I beat you again last week. You'll have to step up the game there. but I think you're talking two different demons in a little bit of a ways right now, if I'm talking Scotty versus Rory. Scotty is facing the demons of last year's run. Reign of terror, I'll say, especially on us. Thank you, Steven Yeager, for getting us a win before Scotty learned how to putt, because it was just disaster for betting cards, right? So I think Scotty trying to get that first win of the year, obviously breaking that wine glass, turning water into wine, whatever happened, I'm sure he's probably, also I wouldn't be surprised, watch out for Scotty this week. Dustin Johnson is run into some stairs this week. You never know, or in the past, right? So who knows? Obviously protect the merchandise there for Scotty. I think it's only a matter of if he will win, not if, for Scottie Scheffler. Obviously, he loves this track. One thing that I really bake into this course, as you said, is pretty predictive, almost like Kentucky Derby. You got the horses that are for courses. Also, you got to have the jockey who's right there as well, right? When I think of horse, I think of player. When I think of jockey, I think of caddy, right? I think of who's been around this course. Ted Scott with Bubba Watson. I think when we think of like Minwoo Lee coming up and just joined on and has got Sugar Shane Lowry on the course, right? Or Rory McIlroy, just his buddy in can he step up and do what he needs to do in those big-time moments when the ghosts are haunting him? So I think it's ghost of Scotty. Hey, yes, he is good. It's not like he's going to go winless. I'm not saying that by any means. But for his first win of the year to be a major, yes, first two of the three, that's a big one. For Rory McIlroy, if you told me that this was his 17th time playing Augusta National, 17, right? I think of Sergio Garcia. And I think of other players who have been around this track, Phil Mickelson, before he was able to come through, right? These guys are like, man, Dustin Johnson, before he was able to come through and win this course. It should line up to Rory's game, but for some reason on Sunday and having that final putt and him being the lowest strokes on the scoreboard just doesn't happen, right? And I think he's had it. I think a fan chirped him already that week that he won as well at the Players. We saw him get kicked out or steal his phone. So it's obviously on his brain. One thing I will say for Rory McIlroy, is I think his marriage and his life, personal life, seems to be in a great spot for him right now, which I think is a huge spot as well. I think his daughter's getting older. I think that relationship is there. I think he's able to play golf and not worry about everything else. As Sammy went out and broke 100, shout out to Sammy there. I'm playing last weekend with Final Four in his Gator bet there. It's hard to play golf when you got other stuff on the mind. I can promise you all that. So I think he's in a good spot. I know he's going to be asked 10,000 questions about it, and I'm probably he's like, oh, go ask Scotty what he's going to do. Top two names on the board. I don't think you're probably going to find many people that have a strong central feeling on a third member there, but I think it's two ghosts, two demons there trying to fight. I don't think Scotty's are that hard to see there. But if I had to put my money, they're both on there. I'm going to say Rory McIlroy wins this week. I do think he tames the gods there. I think it is his week. If it's not now, I might not bet him ever again at this course, but I say that every year. And then he comes in with the best start, just one, forms there, games there. Only question is the caddy. I think, I'll put this down, Scotty. Rory doesn't win this week or it's a disaster. I would expect a caddy change, and I think you have to have that caddy change, especially when me and Sammy are riding you, Rory McIlroy, at Quail Hollow in a couple of weeks at another major, and I need you. I think he's a lock for that one. I will go ahead and – we've already made that bet. Duke Blue Devils killed my parlay. Sammy, we got a couple months, but I promise you, I'm also trying to trick Rory's mind into worrying about Quail Hollow and put all the juices on that one. But that's my thought there. But before we get into Sammy's card and the rest of that, I want everybody to let everybody know that this is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field. Also listening to us live on RadioSt.Pete.com, Florida Sports Streams channel. If you like this show, we talk a little golf. We try to get a little other action. Sammy, I'll have to figure out where Sammy's going. I know we got plenty of baseball to grind throughout the weeks and summer, dog days of summer, we call it. Plenty of golf action. Obviously, we got a signature event next week at a course that I believe Sammy's played at the Hilton Head Heritage there. But plenty of action there. But if you like this show, also check out our other shows on the Tampa St. Pete Radio Network there. We got this show on Tuesdays. Tomorrow we'll give you a little break, but hit up our newsletter, thebetterclubhouse.substack.com. Thursday we got On the Tee Florida. Sammy, I don't know if you've listened back to that one, but we had Cubs former Rays manager and former World Series champion skipper Joe Maddon on the shout out to Joe for joining us for over an hour last Thursday. Heck of a conversation there. Had some golf sprinkled in with his mindset, doing some yoga, his trash talking on the golf course. And also for those local, is he a Tampa for the Rays or is he a St. Pete for the Rays? He gives you all that and more in that great On the Tee Florida, On the Tee Florida golf.com, also on Spotify as well. And then on Friday, we do Bump That Media, plenty potpourri of sports and action there from a high school perspective and a younger crowd there, throwing plenty of things around. And then on Saturday, we do our great show on Tampa St. Pete from 11 to 1. Sammy giving his pros picks there as he does when we're there. We'll have to get some Masters picks, maybe looking forward to that. Also looking forward to we got playoff hockey with the Bolts coming up. Looking forward to that. And then also plenty of action local and all that stuff as well. Check out Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, all that great stuff. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. And I give a shout out to Mike Rickard there, Iowa legend. Put all this great product together. Plenty of great action to be in your ear all week long. Sammy, as we look back and as we're trying to figure out, that was a Rory Scotty. Should we just do our one and done? Is it going to be one of those two guys up top for you before we get into the meat and potatoes of, or I'll have to call it the hamburgers and chili since we're doing the Scotty Scheffler horrible menu there. Come on, Scotty, get together. But well, I kind of expected it. But you want to do one and dones now or you want to trickle down through the field, try to get some action first?
Let's trickle down the field. But I wanted to say you brought up Dustin Johnson a little bit when you were talking about Scotty versus Rory, and I thought that was interesting because not a single player has a consecutive top five finish at the Masters since 2020 when Dustin did it. He came in second, and then he followed it up with a win. So that's what I'm talking about, this historic versus historic thing. Scotty's in a spot where he's had so much success that he's maybe had too much success, where Rory's chasing his success with, I mean, great form outside of coming in. Like, he's won at courses that potentially people didn't even think were that great of a fit for him. So it's an interesting one, and out of those two, I think I agree with you that I would pick Rory.
Yeah, I mean, out of the top 19 names right now, I got the history of last year's event. If we're just talking top six, we'll just – or top eight, we'll just go ahead. Obviously, top five you mentioned. Scotty Scheffler, okay. Cross him off, right? Next one would be Colin Morikawa, a popular name out there in that second phase. Cross him off. Eighth last year. That'd be Xander Schauffele. I know a lot of people love his iron approach at Valspar in our hometown event here. Finished eighth. Right outside that marker, but right around that same thing, Bryson DeChambeau. He just melted down at LIV Doral last week. Finished sixth last year. A popular name this week, and we love him, is Big Swede. Finished second last year, obviously, right behind Scotty last year. Second. Got to cross him off unless he's going to do something historic. Another name that I bet on last week, right on live on the Tee Florida Golf, and he went almost DFL after the cut. I'm looking at you, Tommy Fleetwood. Third place last year. Tied for third. Not in that. Cross him off. And then another one that I kind of like this week, but his kind of form has popped off. Not that great. Cameron Smith, another name. So, Sammy, just roll off some of those trends so that we can kind of throw me the trends, and then obviously the patrons are going to want to know, okay, if those aren't going to win, give me the short list. Give me the names.
Sure.
And so throw out some trends, and then we'll get into who those trends lead to, and then also help the patrons kind of build out their fantasy lineup as they pull open their Masters app and try to win their office pool or their neighborhood Ferg's pool as well.
Absolutely. So I will say, if you're listening live, just know that this will be on Spotify, so you can go back and listen back to it. There's going to be a lot of numbers and a lot of names. But so let's start it off. Eliminate all the debutantes. There has not been a debutante that has won at the Masters in Augusta since 1979, I think.
Fuzzy Zeller. That would be the one. Yep.
So then let's go down the list and say 26 of the last 27 Masters winners made the cut in the previous year. So anybody that missed the cut last year, that includes some names.
I'm looking
like
at
Justin
you, Justin Thomas.
Thomas.
Yep, that's top of the
Victor
board there.
Hovland.
Yep.
Yep. Wyndham Clark.
Sergio Garcia, former champion.
Sergio.
Yep.
Yep. It's Brian Harman, who just won.
And Dustin Johnson.
Jordan.
Yep.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth. So okay. Those are some of the bigger names.
Okay.
Then let's go out of the names remaining. 25 of the last 27 Masters winners placed in the top 38. Or better in the previous Masters. So when you go down that list, it brings you to a few names, a list of names here, if you will. And
what are some key names that it kind of crosses off there, Sammy, that people might be surprised about at the top of the board there?
Sure. So give me one moment here. It crosses off. Oh, I'm in the wrong tab. Sorry, I lost my place in my notes.
Oh, you're good. No, you're good. So I think we got John Rahm finished outside of that. I see that Brooks Koepka, another major name, finished outside of that as well. I also see a name like Shane Lowry, popular
Finau.
Pick.
Yep.
Tony Finau. Top 30, did you say 35 or 38?
38,
so we keep in a guy that I think that is going to be a popular pick, Georgia boy himself. Keeps in Hideki Matsuyama, and also keeps in a guy named by the name of Russ Henley that a lot of people are probably going to be going there. But another name that it does knock out, to your point, was Tony Finau, and another one would be Saeed Tagala. So knocks out those. Okay, Sammy, what's the next
it
one?
Also
now?
Knocks out Phil, in case you thought Phil was going to turn back the clock and do it again.
Okay. I mean, he played well last week at Doral. He was right there in the mix. Yeah. So, obviously, I think he we're over the days of his coffee and his glutes and that sort of thing. So, it'll be interesting. I will say, to Phil's credit, it seems like Augusta National, we always have at least one old guy in the mix. I don't know if that's Bernard Langer. I don't know if that's Jailbird Angel Cabrera, who won last week on the Champions Tour. Shout out to Angel coming out of the jail cell and gets onto the and lifts the trophy there. I'm not going to disregard the old guys, but unfortunately, your trend that Sammy just put in, cross Phil Mickelson off the list. Third trend that we need to keep an eye out for there, Sammy.
Yeah, so that 25 of last 27 top 38 finish, there's about 30 to 35 names still remaining. Too many to list off here, but here's one that really narrows it down to a handful. 11 of the last 12 winners gained at least 0.25 strokes, so a quarter of a stroke around the greens per round in their last 16 rounds leading into the Masters.
Hold on, Sammy. Let's slow that one down. I think even if I turn this one down to 0.5x, and I'm a math guy, that we might need to do this one. Did you say, I heard the numbers 0.25, and I heard 11 of the last 12 or 13, 12. Last 11 of the last 12, so this does matter. This is not like one out of two, one out of three. And I heard 0.25, did I hear around the green?
Yes.
Okay, and then are we talking how many Masters, is this around the Masters or any course that we have to do for this 0.25?
For the 16 rounds leading into the Masters.
16.
So guys that are, the last, on average, the last four or five, if you're LIV, events, how good are these guys around the greens? Are they gaining at least a quarter of a stroke per round around the greens on average?
And for those listening, put down your calculator, put down your math, put down your Excel sheet. Sammy, who does it cross off for those patrons out there that want to know 11 out of the last 12?
Sure. It crosses off everybody except the following names. Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Cam Smith, Lucas Glover, Keegan Bradley, Minwoo Lee, Joaquin Niemann, Rory McIlroy, Corey Connors, Decky, and Russ Henley. So about 15 names there. Don't worry, we're going to further narrow that list of names down. But now we've got a handful of tangible names. A guy like Lucas Glover, who could be a punt play in your DFS lineups, or one of those guys in your Masters pool that is in the last group that you need to find somebody to put in that list. Somebody like Lucas Glover there, based on his around the green play, could be a solid pick.
And Sammy, I think even you said Colin Morikawa, right?
I did.
But unfortunately, he finished T3 here last year. So we can go ahead and cross that one off. So you can even pull that one out, because you don't go top five back-to-back years. So shout out to Colin. I think he will win eventually. I've been on him enough. But is 16 enough? One is attractive compared to those Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. 16-1 is also a popular number that Sammy brought to my attention. You can get a dual forecast, meaning that for those horse bettors out there, this is an exacta box it there. Rory or Scottie to finish 1-2 or 2-1 there. 16-1. Go out and bet that. Don't bet Colin Morikawa. You might enjoy your money a little bit more on that. It won't be a sexy pick tomorrow at office by any means. It'll be like, but I promise you on Saturday afternoon, and they're about to tee up, and Jim Nance comes on the air with Hello Friends, I promise you will probably want that one in your pocket more than Colin Morikawa. So Sammy listed off some names there. What I want the patrons to do now, either rewind this and go back to those names and do some research to figure that out, or join our newsletter, the Better Clubhouse at Substack.com. And also, open up your Masters app now. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to go down the Masters app, and we're going to try to go down. You're going to pick five players through this of different categories, and we're going to roll down some names, right? I think we've talked to the top and kind of given you an idea of what the Master Champion trend looks like and that sort of thing. But maybe you hate trends. Maybe you're saying, hey, this is the year that we buck the trend. You want a buck trender? Bet Patrick Reed. That's a buck trender right there. You want somebody? Bet Brian Harman this week, right? Bet a debutante. Davis Thompson, I'm looking at you. And all these other, Thomas Detry, right? Bet these guys if you want to do a buck the trend, right? Also, but if you want some stats behind it of who we think is going to win based on the numbers that we looked at and the models that we plays on, that's where, open up the app. We're going to tell you some names. Probably not the names that Joe Schmo is going to tell you. We're going to dig into the numbers, tell you the players to play, try to get you some leverage, try to get you some insights, and try to get you a listener on the Better Clubhouse patron crew, and try to show you that we kind of know a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of insight as we do each and every Tuesday from 7 to 8. How's that sound, Sammy?
Love it.
All right, so as we do this, and as I open up the Masters app, and if you haven't already, like I said, check it out. If you click over, you got to create an account. Do it. Also, you can get through the lottery. I'm not going to guarantee it's not one of these ones. If you figure out how a way to get around it and get in the tournament, definitely give me a shout out on X at Champs311. Love to get your way of how to finagle the system there. But Sammy, just to kind of set the stage as we go into this final segment of our show to give people the really the
what we're looking at here. We need past champions, if we're going to put all those groups into a group. United States of Americans. We're going to have international. We're going to have debutantes or first-timers. We're going to have wild card, which I think is anybody else outside of that, I believe. And then we're going to have a tiebreaker of how many total putts will be recorded by the field for the entire tournament, which I actually think is a great segment, and somebody actually posted this on X. If you started, and Sammy, this is a great one just to get people all ready before we go into the final segment here. Sammy, if you started on the green, furthest point away from the green, and you dropped your ball on the green, could you win Augusta National? Could you win a green jacket just by starting there while the rest of the pros started from the tee box? Do you think that you could win over 72 holes of just putting on the Augusta greens? What are your thoughts? Could you win the tournament just by starting on the green itself?
I want to say yes, but the answer is no.
So just for the patrons there, let's say you're on a par five, right? And you're on, was that 15?
I can score on the par five.
15, right? And you drop your ball there. If you make it, obviously an albatross, a two, and you take a 300 par to the next one, and that sort of thing. And the pros start there. I think it's an interesting question. I think you can try to throw it out to your buddies, see what they think. I mean, this was also a course where Ernie Els took, I believe, a six putt or a seven putt on the first hole a couple years back. That's a infamous moment for the Big Easy there. I think, Sammy, if you had somebody like Ted Scott looking in your bag and it was able to help you on the greens, I think you were there. I don't think there's enough Patrick Cantlay shuffles on that green for you to be able to win the green jacket, unfortunately, unless you're Mr. Shooter McGavin and you steal it right out of the hands of Happy Gilmore and you run out of there. But I'm going to say no shot there, Sammy. But if we're ever out there and you get the chance, love to do it. Get your thoughts. Hit us up in the comment section. Could you win Augusta National with a green jacket just by putting there? While we do that, you are listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, and you're listening to the Better Clubhouse live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, 13th and Central, right in the backdrop of Tropicana Field, downtown St. Pete, each and every Tuesday, 7 to 8 o'clock, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on the Florida Sports Dreams channel. Come on down. Plenty of great action, plenty of beers on tap there, Sammy, plenty of televisions. I know we sweated out a nice NIT action the other night down here. Come on down. Great weather with the sunset coming on down. Plenty of great seats, plenty of great TV, especially to enjoy the Masters. Fun side story there. This is 1 year to the day that I met Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network's founder, legend himself, Mike Rickard, was right there. He saw me with the Masters app right at the bar down here at Ferg's, right off the sidewalk. And he's like, oh, what's this guy? Oh, you follow golf? I wasn't watching the TV in the final group. I was watching the Masters app, and I was lucky to have win, place, and show. I had Scottie Scheffler, number one, Ludwig Åberg, number two, and then a guy by the name of Max Homa, number three, was right there. Great place to go. Magical place down here. Come on and check it out. We also got pickleball out back, and they got a pickleball tournament coming down on Saturday. Come down and check it out down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, let's roll off some names in this final segment here. Sammy, let's do a little speed action here. Open up your Masters app, alphabetical. Sammy, you pick. You take past champions, and I'll take United States. Who are some names from past champions that have kind of caught your eye looking down the list there?
Yep. So we're in the fantasy tab of the Masters app, which is new this year, I think, which is pretty fun. And you said I'm going to do past champions. So you have to pick one. Obviously, Scotty's in play, but given the top five,
can't take
trends,
Rory.
No, I can't take Rory. I think I'm going to go John Rahm.
Okay,
I like John Rahm in this group. He's playing pretty well on LIV. He hasn't been at the top of the leaderboard over there yet, but he's putting some good golf together. Consistent top tens over there. So I'm going to go with John Rahm.
I love John Rahm. He's one of my – I was talking to Sammy before the show. Another fun bet for those D-gen out there before they tee off on Thursday, go ahead into your sports book and bet a winner of each of the major championship golf tournaments. Pick the U.S. Open winner. Pick the Open Championship. Pick the PGA Championship. And don't forget to pick this week as well, the Masters Championship.
parlay those up, and you're going to see an astronomical number. Think about all the ways that you're going to spend that money over the summer once your final guy that you're sweating at 2 a.m. in the Open Championship. That's always a fun one there. I had John Rahm as my pick pre-tournament there. But John Rahm, as you mentioned, no live stats, but T9 last week at Doral, T5, T6, 6, T2. Those are his last five there. One in Chicago, one in the United Kingdom. I think he's probably playing the best out of the bunch. I think he's actually up to his standard as he would do on the PGA Tour. That's how well John Rahm's playing. I really like him this week. Great pick there, Sammy. As we move on to the United States there, plenty of names to choose from. Once again, we won't make our way. Since you're not going to pick the name, I'm going to go. Thank you there, Sammy. Sorry, patrons. You're not going to get another name than I've already said here. That's Mr. Scottie Scheffler is going to be the second pick. This guy, tee to green game is on point. Only question is the putter. Put Ted Scott on these greens. Those guys there. I think Fairway Jesus should go to Scottie Scheffler after this week, and he puts it up. He just does another stripe show there. Expecting him to be there. No reason he shouldn't be. He might not be able to close out Memorial Park and beat out the likes of a Minwoo Lee, but he's going to beat him out this week. I'm not saying he's going to win, but definitely Scottie Scheffler in that second spot. Coming to you, Sammy, on the turnaround there. We're going international. You picking the guy with four names that starts with R here?
I don't want to be boring, so I'm going to change it up a little bit. If I was picking my own entry, I would pick Rory here. If this was, like, for money, I would definitely pick Rory here.
Join the millions and millions, as The Rock would say, of The Rock's fans that would probably have that lineup there, right?
Yeah, there would be no differentiation there. But I think to get a bit contrarian, I'm going to go with Minwoo Lee. He's part of my top 20 parlay this week. And I worry about him off the tee in as far as spraying it off the tee, but he's got the short game. He just wanted a place that mirrors itself like Augusta in Houston. And so I think with the way he can drive it, that carry distance that he's got with his driver mixed with that short game, I think it's a nice floor for this category here.
Nah, I like that pick. Great pick out of it. I think my biggest thing is, I think he's also, like I mentioned before early in the show, he's got Sugar Shane's old caddy there on the bag, which gives him an experience around the track. Also, he just won, obviously, a couple weeks back at aforementioned Memorial Park there. So he's got the win off it. He's got the proverbial monkey off the back there, so I think that's going to help him. A name that I would go, if you don't want to go Rory McIlroy, I think he's picking up a lot of steam, so it is going to be a popular pick, and that's going to be, and Sammy can vouch for me here, hopefully as a good patron there, Robert McIntyre. Yeah. I really liked him as a lefty coming into this course. I think it does suit lefties there. I do like his game. I think he's trending properly there. He's fifth tee to green on the PGA Tour this season, sixth in greens in regulation, 8th in ball striking, 14th in birdies or better, 12th in par 5 scoring. Check all the boxes. This guy is a big game player there, winning the Scottish Open, going face-to-face over there in the Open Championship. I really like Bobby McIntyre. If you want a guy that I don't think that's going to be very popular, but a name that could be out there, and he would actually be a debutant, that would actually be the likes of a Thomas Detry. I think he's got the length. I think he's got the game. He might not be able to putt, and he might not win you the golf tournament, but I do think he's going to make the cut, which is not a wild opinion here. But he could go on the debutante first-timer here as well. But that's a name out there. A name that you might want to go towards is Ludvig Åberg. He just missed the cut last week, but that run down those trends there as well. Plenty of names out there. Sammy, give the patrons just one more international name that you might like there, because I think there are some great names out there as I look down the first-timer list as well.
There are some great names here. I think another international name that I would be looking at.
Off the wall. These are for that office pool that obviously Joe Schmo might put in a Ludvig Åberg. Yeah. Who's somebody else further down the line that maybe the stats kind of like?
Sepp Straka.
Love that name.
Sepp Straka, been playing very good golf. He doesn't necessarily have the distance, but he's got the iron play. He's fifth tee to green coming into this event. He's 10th in par 5 birdie or better scoring, top 15 in bogey avoidance, and he's 4th in greens and regulation. So Let's go with Seth Straka.
I love that name. Another Georgia Bulldog there from Georgia. Obviously,
there
Augusta, Georgia. We got plenty of mojo there. I'm curious of the hat tan. It's probably not going to be as good as yours, Sammy, that you shared with me on yours. But I will say his hat tan might rival Stuart Sink's on Sunday. He's got the bald cut. I'm a fan of the bald shine there. Seth Straka, I really hope that you're there and have a great round and so that we can see that hat tan that we're looking for. So now we're going to first debutantes. I wouldn't bet these guys to win, but who knows? We're talking, we got VCU alum, my old alum, and Rafael Campos. Not going there. Thomas Detry, we already talked about. TD himself. I got two guys in my top 10 that are debutantes this week. I already mentioned one of them, and that would be Thomas Detry. The other one is Davis Thompson, DT himself, big mitts. This guy is from Alabama, another down there. I really like his game. I think off the tee, he plays really, really well. The question is going to be the putter, 144th on tour. But for, I mean, 30, he's top 50, tee to green, 25th in Apex. His approach is okay inside the top 100, 5th in ball striking, 31 in birdies or better. 22nd in par 5 scoring. I do worry, debutante, and that sort of thing. That's another name that probably not a lot of people are going to know, but he does. He's already won at John Deere. He's got that win. Another name I would look out there, and that's going to be in my top 10 out there as well. Another popular name, probably going to be Maverick McNealy. Just played well and that sort of thing. I don't know. And Kevin, you goat. Obviously, this is a tee to green specialist. He's not very good on the greens, but I think Augusta National there, tee to green, get it on the green, and see what happens from there. So, let me just reel off.
I like Joe Highsmith too.
Love that. Love the. I mean, yeah, that protects against that sunscreen tan. That all makes sense.
I was just going to say that. Yeah,
we'll have to throw that into the newsletter just so the patrons get an idea of the tan that Sammy was working with in North Carolina there playing the golf as we try to play and try to bet this fun game here. My top 10 for the patrons there, just so get that all out of the way for those that have stuck around here. Will Zalatoris is my number one this week, early round. I love his game. He's actually gained around the green here at Augusta National, one of the top five in putting around Augusta National. Surprise, surprise. Number two in early round scoring. Love that. Potential first-round leader. I'm actually probably going to lock that in there. Number two, no surprise, Rory McIlroy up there on number two. Number three is J.J. Spahn, having a great year, tee to green specialist. Next up, Justin Thomas up there as well. Next up, Patrick Cantlay, can't putt, I might as well say. But somehow he still ranks in the top 50 strokes game putting for the year. Thomas Detry, next one, no surprise, Scotty Scheffler on the board. He gets a little bit of a knock in his late round two scoring, 130th. Davis Thompson, Bobby Mack, and Wyndham Hotels Clark, probably going there in a late round, first round leader action as well. That's my top 10. Sammy, looking at wild card, I think you can pretty much pick it from the bunch here. Anybody that we haven't mentioned that or that you want to go here as far as you're filling out your fantasy lineup on Masters app there?
So not only am I going to go a wild card, but I'm going to go a little bit off the wall because this guy is in both of our top 10s in our models. J.J. Spahn. J.J. Spahn, what about that?
I love that. I mean, when I look at him, top seven, tee to green, second in approach on the season, 17th in ball striking. I mean, obviously people are going to say, well, he doesn't drive it. I see J.J. Spahn as top 55 in driving distance on the PGA Tour this season. You might be sure.
Carry distance.
Exactly, yep. Right. And there, and I mean, he is also top 100 in Apex, hitting it high, tee to green specialist. Man, this guy is short. Okay. So was Brian Harman last week, right? Stature of the game. That's where stats kind of tell the toll more of a guy like J.J. Spahn. Go ahead, Sammy.
Yeah, so that the apex stat is key because the higher the apex, the more chance the ball flight is going to be conducive to the ball stopping on these greens. You want the higher shots coming in from a higher angle here so they're not shooting off the greens or bouncing off the greens. You want to come in from that higher apex level, so I really like that shot about that one.
Love that. Obviously, tiebreaker, you go with however many putts. I don't even – I would have to quantify that. I mean – let's just thank Sammy's on the greens for those patrons there. Sammy makes the cut. Sammy's probably averaging 2.5 putts a green. I'm going to actually say 3 putts a green for average for my math skills here. 73 times.
Hey, 2.5.
For my math skills here to try to get our one undone segment there, I'm going to go 72 holes times 3. We're talking about 216. I believe that's putts there for my statistics degree there. So 216. There you go. So don't bet 216 putts total for the winner of the major. My guess is probably going to need to average around 30. I'd say 30 putts around Augusta National is probably pretty good. Anything under 30 is really good. 32 is probably too high. If you go 30 times 4, it's going to probably put you at 120. I'd probably go a little bit north of that. I'd say 120 to 150 is probably a decent tiebreaker bet there. Sammy, as we wrap down the show, here's who's your one and done pick? I had Patrick Cantlay last week, only got me 50 grand. Did better than your 20 grand Keegan Bradley number there. One and done. Go out and check out our newsletter of all our selections. No odds. You can only pick a name once. We've been doing this since the Players' Championship. We haven't picked really a big name. Sammy, who's it going to be this week if you had to put your money down on one player to burn in your one and done?
I'm going first, or are you going first?
No, go ahead. Guess first. Always right. The honor there.
Okay. I'm going to pick Rory.
Rory McIlroy. Then I got to go Scotty Scheffler. Head-to-head. Let's go, buddy. So we're looking forward to it. So that makes that easy. Sammy, where can people follow you and all your great content and all the stuff that you're going to be posting this week?
Yeah, I'll be at on Twitter at SammyAvBets, SammyAvBets. And I'll get some stuff up on there in addition to the newsletter tomorrow.
And I'm on X at Champs311. You'll see all my win bets and first round leader and all that great stuff. If you missed anything, check us out on Spotify. Should be up tomorrow there. As always, thank you to Sammy for joining us. And this is, you've been
thank
listening
you.
To the Better Clubhouse, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection radio broadcast live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Old Clubhouse Studios. For Sammy Sharps, myself on the controls, shout out to RadioSt.Pete.com's Joe Bordeaux and the mastermind behind Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, Mike Rickard. Thank you for listening to the Better Clubhouse. God bless you, and God bless America.